Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turning your Bibles, please, to Micah chapter 6. Young people, one of the things that happens to people, and this is very common, is they appreciate God, they're aware of God, often they're growing with God, but there comes a point where they say, what does God want from me? Or what do I need to do? Or what is it that God is looking for? How do I stay right with Him? And this is something that's going to come into your minds from time to time also. Micah gives the answer to that in verse 8. He says there, He has shown you, O man, that can mean woman also. Remember, in the Bible, when it says man, it's talking about people, about humans. And so it says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? So what does God desire? It's right here. What does He require of you? Now, this requirement is indeed a requirement. This is a must for us. There's not a lot that God says we must do. Most of the things God says He's done for us. But there are some things that God desires for us to do. There are some things that God requires. And here it says, what does God require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? That's it right there. The Old Testament laws, and there were a boatload of them. We often think of just the Ten Commandments that Moses gave, but there were actually a boatload. There were about 430 some odd laws in the Old Testament. But they all boiled down to this, that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. Even Jesus didn't give any new laws to this. He said, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. That was it right there. So, young people, when you get to the point where you're not sure what to do, and that happens to everyone, and you're praying and you don't know the right decision, you're praying and you don't know what God's looking for, and sometimes He waits to give those answers to cause us to grow, the answer is right here. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. Now, in order to be able to do those things, we have to understand what those things mean. Do justly is a very simple idea. In Romans 1:17, the Word of God says that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's what doing justly means. The just live by faith. In order to live by faith, I have to receive the Word of God in Romans 10:17. And in Galatians 5:6, I have to draw near to the love of God. The love of God, the fact that God loves you, and the fact that He loves you freely, the fact that He puts no requirements on you in order to love you, that allows you to live in faith. That actually gives energy to your faith. It gives life to your faith. So part of doing justly means that you are focused on the love of God and you are receiving the Word of God, and the Word of God produces faith in you. So if you're going to do justly, you're receiving the Word of God. The Word of God will then transform your thinking because it defines reality. It tells you what is reality, what is truth. The world cannot tell you what truth is. The world can tell you some things about your circumstances or what's going on
in the world.
But that's not always truth. Sometimes people confuse facts and truth as though they were the same thing. They are not the same thing. Facts are about situations and circumstances. Truth is a kingdom of God issue, and it's found in the Word of God in John 17:17. So, you may have factual circumstances, but the Word of God gives you the truth about those circumstances. It defines what is real. The circumstances may be taking place, but the Word of God gives correct understanding about what is taking place. And that makes it much more important than just what is taking place. So if you want to do justly, you have to draw near to the Word of God. You have to receive the Word of God to produce faith in you. You draw near to the love of God, and that means that you focus on the love of God. That becomes what you're oriented to. That becomes your standard. In other words, what is God's attitude toward me? He loves me. What is God's attitude toward other people? He loves them. And that becomes the basis of everything. That God loves, that God is love, that God so loved the entire world, even those people who are wicked, that He died for them so that He could turn them from their wickedness and that they could enjoy a life with Him also. That's the nature of God. God is love. If you want to do justly, you have to live in the love of God and you have to live in the Word of God. You cannot live in self-orientation. In other words, you cannot be self-centered or selfish and do justly. You can't look at another person or a circumstance and say to yourself, it's all about me. How does it make me feel? How do they help me? No, they don't have that kind of ability or relationship to you. Other people are kind of like circumstances. It might go well for you with them, it may not go well for you with them, but they don't decide anything about who you are. Your relationship to God decides who you are. What God has to say defines who you are. So it's not circumstances and it's not other people, it's your relationship to God. Always build your relationship to God, and you do that through the Word of God and the love of God. You focus on the love of God, you receive the Word of God. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord in all your ways and do not lean on your own understanding. The problem with leaning on our own understanding and why it's impossible to do justly if we lean on our own understanding is because our own understanding is very limited. We only know so much, but we don't know very much. We don't know, for example, if we are dealing with somebody, whether it's positive or negative. We don't know what is in their mind, what they're really thinking. We don't know what their history is. We don't really know why people do the things they do. That's one of the reasons why we just love. Because we don't know. So you don't rely on your own understanding. You trust in the Lord in all your ways. And then in verse 6, you acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He directs your path. That means that if you say to God, God, cause me to make the right decisions, He will cause you to make the right decisions. Sometimes we pray, and we're still not sure. And that's not uncommon, that's okay. And the reason why that happens is not because God wouldn't answer us. It's because God wants us to acknowledge Him and then learn how to trust Him to cause us to do the right things. We depend on Him. Sometimes when we pray, we want God to make us be able to depend on ourselves. But that doesn't work. We're not designed that way. We are designed to depend on God. We don't depend on our own understanding. We trust Him in all our ways. We acknowledge Him in all our ways. And then He causes us to make the right decisions. He directs our path. He's the one who decides. It's His plan, and He shows us how to walk in it. When you walk in the plan of God, that's where you get the biggest benefit for your life. And then it says love mercy. Love mercy is extremely important. What does that do? Loving mercy keeps me in the love of God in Jude 21. If you want to keep yourself in the love of God, if you want to keep the love of God as your focus, as your standard, then look for mercy. It all starts with mercy. In Leviticus 16, 14 to 15, mercy is based in the blood of Christ. Mercy means that albeit I may deserve something that's punishment from God because we are all sinners, maybe I've done something that I should not have done and I deserve for God to discipline me, God will not give me what I deserve. God will be patient with me. And the patience of God is the expression of His mercy. God will be patient with me. Maybe I get it all wrong. Maybe I completely blow it. God will be patient with me. When you start to love mercy, then you are entering into the things that God requires of you. God requires you to receive the love of God. God requires you to receive the grace of God. God requires you to look for the mercy of God. It's always based in the blood. Being based in the blood makes it based in the finished work. The finished work is all the things that God has accomplished. So if I'm looking for mercy or loving mercy, I'm also looking for all the things that God has accomplished. God has accomplished forgiveness. God has accomplished grace. God has accomplished godliness, gentleness, compassion, goodness. Loving mercy means I'm looking for all the things that God has accomplished. So it's patience, yes. It's love, yes. It's kindness, yes. It's grace, yes. We walk in grace all the time. Yes, that is what it is. It's the compassion of God, yes. It's loving mercy. And then he says to walk humbly. In Psalm 34:2, the humble will hear and be glad. The first thing about humility is that we receive the Word of God. The Word of God has an effect on us. It'll produce joy in our hearts. It'll produce contentment. It'll produce satisfaction. One of the biggest reasons why people don't have contentment, why they lack joy, why they lack satisfaction, is because in humility they don't receive the Word of God. The Word of God is our provision from God to know Him. And so if we are walking humbly, we are turning to the Word of God. That's what it means to walk humbly. A humble person is one that does not elevate their own thinking or their own emotions or their own opinions or what have you above the Word of God. A humble person will say, this is the Word of God. My situation, my emotional response to it, my ways of thinking in the natural mind, these are not above the Word of God. Humility is understanding your proper place before God. Some people think that to be humble means that you don't think very well of yourself. That doesn't mean to be humble. A humble person doesn't think poorly of themselves, nor do they think too highly of themselves. A humble person doesn't think of themselves all that much. Their focus is not themselves. The focus is the Word of God. So the humble person will hear the Word of God and it'll produce joy or contentment in their heart. It'll produce satisfaction. In James 4:10, if you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, He will lift you up. What does that mean? It means in Proverbs 15:33 that before honor is humility. A humble person will be honored by God. In James 4:6, the proud person is opposed by God. It's very important that we live in humility. The thing that God hates the most, and there are seven things that God hates. The thing that He hates the most in Proverbs chapter 6 is pride. Pride is why Lucifer became Satan. That's why he got kicked out of heaven. That's why there is evil in the world, because of pride. God will always oppose the proud person. So it's very important for us to make sure that we humble ourselves. We check our own thinking. We check our own heart. We check our attitude. Because God opposes people who are proud. That opposition will frequently show up in things we may not immediately recognize, and the reason why we don't recognize them is because the pride is present. Pride is when I become oriented to myself. I become self-centered. All my thinking is about me, and that blinds a person. So a humble person is centered toward God. A proud person is centered toward themselves. And a person who is centered toward themselves will often not recognize things because they're staring at themselves. One of the ways that God will oppose a proud person, this is very common, and it's also one of the first things that happens when somebody is proud, is their emotions go bad. They start having emotional problems, all sorts of emotional upheaval. Well, this can be God opposing them. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who has strong emotions is proud. There's different reasons for having strong emotions. But what I am saying is that sometimes when God enters that opposition against a person, and it's always to correct them, it's never to actually destroy them or harm them, but it will happen, and it often comes first in the emotions. The emotions start to show people the condition of their heart with God. What are they oriented to? Because they're oriented to self, and the emotions are coming out of self, they often will not recognize what's really going on, because they're centered around the wrong thing. But if a person is humble, God will honor them. If a person is humble, God will start to promote them. If a person is humble, they will put in all the effort everybody else does, but they get farther in life. If a person is humble, God will take care of all of their details. God will provide for them in ways they don't even understand. And it's all about humility. And the reason why they're humble is because they basically just agree with God. They're saying, yes, God, you're right. You're the boss. Your word defines what reality is. I'm going to live in reality, and therefore I'm going to live in your word. And when a person does that, they have practical humility. And that practical humility will get you very far in life. There's only three things that God is looking for. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. And if you do those three things, if you do justly, if you live in faith, if you look for mercy, if you're oriented and centered on God, then you're going to have one wonderful life with God, and God will do all kinds of things for you because you're doing what He requires. You guys understand that? That's it for today.